everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 483. My name is Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and this is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, Nintendo Switches, and whatever else Door has on his mind. And that Door, of course, is the great one. No, wait. I'm mixing my metaphors. The door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin, joined by the manager. I'm honoring his wishes and simply sticking with the manager, Mr. Eric Ardini. Hey, gentlemen, good to be back with you. How are you tonight?
Good, Mark. Starting to get over this cold thing that's going around everywhere, at least everywhere in this part of the world. Going nuts. I won't be here next week because I will be in beautiful historic downtown Springfield, Illinois, land of Lincoln.
Nice.
Shout out.
I did not do my Geek Rant show this Sunday because I was ill. I don't think it was a cold. I think it was just seasonal allergies, but I was dogged like this and sniffing, and I didn't think anybody wanted to hear that for 3 hours. So,
well, they listened to me on this show do that last week. It's been like, it hasn't rained in probably a month and a half, I bet, here, and it's just got everybody so sick. It needs to rain and get some of this, some of this dust down or something, maybe. I don't know. It's just weird. Everybody's sick.
Yeah. Eric, aren't you glad to see me?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you're really orange in video.
Shout out
I don't know what my
prez.
Right. Yeah, sure. I don't know what I had, but this is the first podcast I've done in a week because I couldn't talk any day. Throat was sore, killing me. Nose wouldn't stop dripping. Head wouldn't stop hurting. Of course, the kids, they're just fine. Wife is like, get out of bed, sissy. Go to work. So I'm finally happy that it is getting over. And like 2 days ago, I know my voice was like bad. So I don't know what the hell it is. I don't want to know what the hell it is. I'm just happy it's finally leaving because it sucks. This is maybe the worst week of work I can recall. I've been there 20 years. I forget a lot. And it's self-imposed. A project that no one has been able to complete. No team has been able to complete. No vendor has been able to complete for 12 years. I'm looking like it's going to launch this weekend. I'm off tomorrow. So I'm going to go in to work on Sunday and cross the fingers and switch over IP addresses and see if it go boom.
Well, good luck, dude. That doesn't sound good. What's your confidence level as of today, your last day of work until Sunday?
Well, first off, I'm not a gambling man. I don't gamble at anything, ever. I don't.
You're educated guess, not a gamble.
My educated guess is there's not going to be a problem. It's going to work fine. No matter what, the end users are going to complain because it's not exactly the same as it was before. But the one change is legitimate. It is a enhancement that they're going to learn to appreciate. But at first, I think they're going to hate it and complain. No, none of the users are government employees. They're all external customers. So they have a little bit, they feel a little bit more a liberal to complain. You know what I mean? They take that liberty a little bit more, which they can, whatever. But it's just, and now here's a perception versus reality. I tried to explain to my boss. When this project is over, I am afraid of what use I am going to be to the administration. If you can't tell, I'm a little bit self-conscious. So I'm like, can you please let me know what I'm going to do once this is deployed? Because I've been working on this for like months and nothing else. I don't like the feeling of being disposable.
Well, they can't just get rid of you. You are a union employee.
Technically, no. It's technically against the law for me to be a part of a union. But he told me we'll talk about it on Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm sure they got something ready for you.
Well, I'll put it like this. I think he is genuinely a nice guy. But unfortunately, the decision's ultimately not his.
Yeah.
So, I feel fantastic. No stress at all.
Well, you get your years in, man. Then you just be a podcaster full time and just sit on your hands until your age of 60 comes around.
First off, podcasting is anything but sitting on my hands. Number one.
I mean, as far as the 8 to 4.
Number two, any year minus the full 30 years is a 3% compounded loss on pension, which is a lot. 3%, then 3%, then do that 10 times, 3%, then 3%. So, which means I don't get paid a lot of money now. Pension at the most is 80% of your salary. So that's not a lot of money. That's like bad. That I could go to Walmart and say, welcome to Walmart, I love you, and probably get more money out of that than the pension if I'm gone tomorrow or Monday.
So what I hear you say,
so thanks for making me feel good,
is that our listeners should go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and donate money so that Dore won't have to be panhandling on the street Tuesday afternoon.
Do you guys have any panhandlers that you know could work if they wanted to?
There have been a few times I have see offered every day. Them work. Right. They have the will work for food signs, and I offer them work, and they say no.
We got a guy who just holds up a sign that says anything will help. And honestly, the guy used to work for me, and he didn't want to work then. But yeah, he's making money doing that. He's getting Social Security or whatever from the government. He's got a place. He's not homeless. He's got a dog. I see him walking his dog when he's not on the main drag panhandling. I don't. I think he was in my class in school, I hired him. He worked for me for about a year almost, I bet, something like that, back in the day. But he is, I don't get it.
Well, you can either, you can either work for Quiznos and hold their sign, or you can hold the sign that says anything helps. Either way, it's the same job for about the same amount of money.
Well, yeah, but one's pure
that's
profit.
Right. No taxes.
The other one, the other one you have to pay taxes on. I'll just put it like this. I do believe people fall on hard times. And it's real, and it happens. Mm-hmm. But I do believe easily 80%+ of all the people out there doing that are doing it out of choice.
Well, that town I'm going to, Springfield, they tried to make an ordinance to keep people from panhandling in their little square because they're like a tourist attraction, state capital and all this stuff. And these people sued them and got the ACLU involved, and they won. And it turned out in the court proceedings that this couple actually had an apartment. Their rent was $2,000 a month, and they weren't late on their rent. They were living pretty nicely off of tourists.
Well, this harkens back to literally, I want to say, like a 1992 or 360 Minutes piece where they followed around a couple people who literally had the whole routine time. They went from New York City to Philadelphia and back to New York City because of like the rush hour difference, and they were able to make like something like $15,000 a month.
Wow.
Straight with no taxes, just, and they literally had like teams of people working for them to where, you know, every, depending on how much they did, they got bonuses kind of thing. I'm sure that was a rare exotic case, but at the same time, whenever a guy tells me, excuse me, my car broke down, I live in Carolina. I had to go up to New York to see my kid, and I was driving back to go to work tomorrow, and I ran out of gas. If you could spare like $10, I could put it in my gas tank. I'll be extremely grateful. I say, well, bring your car over here, or give me a can, and I'll go get you a can. I'll put gas in it. No, man, screw you. I do believe an extremely high number of those people are disingenuous, which is why the last time I gave a guy money, his sign literally said, need money for beer.
Nice.
He's honest.
Yeah,
there's a buck.
There you go.
So my theory on that, not that anybody asked, but if you...
Hey, Mark, yes? I'm pretty sure you have a theory on something like this, and I'd be very intrigued to hear how it
works. I think he opens up Excel spreadsheet and determines the poverty wage, the poverty average of the town's median income.
I find that I have... that my life is better if lived by certain rules. Over the years, I've developed certain personal rules that are non-negotiable. Called them nuts. Non-negotiable, unavoidable truths. Nuts. One of my life rules is if I have money and you ask for it, you get it. No questions asked. I don't care what you do with it. If I have money in my pocket, which honestly isn't very often, but think about it. In the world in which we live, almost every dollar I spend for reals is electronic. It's a credit card, or it's a bank draft or something like that. Any money on me, by definition, is disposable money. And if you ask for it and I have it, it's yours. If you go spend it on beer, it's fine. If you're a scammer, that's not on me. That's on you. That's your life. Live it your way. If you ask me for money and I have it, you get it. No questions asked.
I'm happy I don't carry around a lot of money and have that philosophy, because the amount of homeless or the amount of people I see on intersections in Maryland, I think it's phenomenal compared to the state is literally a farming state. The huge percentage of land in the state is farms. We have Baltimore, super tiny city. I can take the beltway around the entirety of the city in under an hour when there's no traffic. It's small. But the number of people standing on street corners is ridiculous. And we have a law. You cannot step off the curb unless the person says, come here, I have money for you. Yet it's never enforced. So
yeah, I don't think that would work for me. I only carry cash. I don't use cards much because I don't like balancing my checkbook with all those different deposits and stuff in it. So, I mean, I
good news there.
I could be rolled easily, but what?
Well, I have good news for you. Your next device is going to have NFC.
Yeah?
You can use that, right?
Did I know that?
At McDonald's and Walgreens. That's pretty much the only place you can use that.
Well, with the MasterCard PayPass app, it will tell you every place where it's accepted. And I will say 90% of the places I go in and use it, the people at the register don't even know it's usable.
I'm pretty sure my current device has that, but I've never used it.
I know. But don't you have a new device, like being brought to you by like a stork?
Yes. Since we're in the hardware, what's new in hardware section, I did watch the entire Google presentation and have ordered a Pixel 2, the small one, the 5-inch. I don't care about the thick bezels on the top and the bottom. I'm excited about the dual speakers, which my 5X doesn't have, which I did kind of miss from the 6P that did have it.
Well, let's be honest. They're not thick bezels. They're normal bezels.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah, bezels are fine. You know, bezels just gives you some place to hang on to when you're manipulating your with your thumb. You don't have to worry about accidentally touching stuff because there was no bezel to grab
like on. Like the S7 Edge? Yeah, I wouldn't want that phone because every time you pick it up, you're interacting with the phone accidentally. Yeah.
You have to hold it like on your hand flat kind of thing or else. I'll say this. The good thing about that phone is they were very, 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 very clear. The only differences between the big phone and the small phone is the size of the screen and the front facing.
That was true of the original Pixel 2, wasn't it?
I believe it was at least intended, but I do believe the smaller one had one or two smaller numbers. Maybe it was storage. I don't think it was RAM. But this one, virtually all the key internal parts are identical.
And watching that presentation, I mean, they did bring out a bunch of different cool devices, some of them weird, some of them not cool. But the only, I mean, it's not a cheap phone, but relatively to the new phones that are coming out, the other flagships, it's cheap, I guess. It's, you know, $400 less than some others. And it is, it was the only affordable device out of the whole presentation. Everything else I thought was way inflated on the price. I was beside myself at the prices of all the other items that they announced.
Yeah, Google's really trying to go for that premium market these days. They're trying to be Apple.
But their phone, I think their phone is approachable. I mean, it's, you know, $300 less than I think the Note 8. You know, I don't know. It's just, I guess the big one would be only $200, but I was glad to see that.
I'll say the Google Home Mini, which is hockey puckish
size. And I got one of those free coming with my phone because I ordered it early.
Smaller than a donut, the
50 bucks. Right. 50 bucks for that, it, to me, is not crazily overpriced. But I will say everything else I did see and their previous presentation, I had the exact same thought, Eric. Who are they pricing these things for? I mean, who? Really? Except for elitist.
No, it's
extremophile Google fans.
It's not elitist. $50. It's Silicon Valley. That every company in Silicon Valley eventually succumbs to Silicon Valley itis, and they think that everybody is a millennial making $400,000 a year living in a $1 million two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah. Now the $50 for the Home Mini doesn't sound bad until you compare it to the regular home, which is like $100 and $120. Sometimes you can get it for $100. And that, I mean, we use the crap out of our Google Home. I come home at lunch, my daughter has it cranked all the way up loud, and it sounds decent. I'm sure that this little mini that I'm getting is not going to sound nearly as good. And I mostly use it for the sound. But then they did come out with the bigger Google Home with the, you know, purports great sound, and the price was like $350 or something. I was like, whoa, that's way too much. But you know what? I mean, if you are, it probably sounds like Bose Wave radio speakers or something. It's probably just really awesome sounding, but I just don't have that kind of money to spend on a speaker.
I don't have any use case for a speaker because I'll say once again, here's another quick update from Podcast Addict, patreon.com/podcastaddict. I go into my player, I hit playback statistics. Podcast listening time, 243 days. Today, 16 hours and 36 minutes. Yesterday, 15 hours, 52 minutes. This week, 2 days, 20 hours. Last week, 4 days and 9 hours. I don't have time to listen to music.
I do like podcast. I like listening to podcasts. I don't listen to that many, and I do enjoy listening to music. Well, I usually do listen to the music in the cars, though, because that's where my best speakers are.
I can't because I go through Baltimore traffic, which is at minimum in the 10 worst traffics in the U.S. because of the arcane nature of our road system. It's just ancient old. If I listen to music, the wrong song might come on where I get a little bit too jacked up and road rage might come a little bit too easy. Okay. So I listen to podcasts to where at least I'm thinking, oh, that's cool. That sounds like a good device. Wow, that's a good science thing. What he said was pretty funny, and not getting angry or possibly getting excited.
Well, last week, the reason I wasn't with you is because I was at the State Fair of Georgia with my children. And those of you who are Texans who are listening to me, it's more like a county fair for Texas. But anyway, we were there. He was vacation, and I went with him. And while I wasn't here, I did have Android hardware on my mind because this happened.
Ooh! Oh, wow, that's my. Quite a pattern on there.
So what you remember back that? In the early 2000s, there was this thing. It even became a song. This guy gave a speech, and it was like, wear sunscreen. Like, all the best advice I could give you is wear sunscreen. Well, my advice is use a tempered glass screen protector. That's the one thing that you could do. So I came home and pulled my old Nexus 5 out of the drawer and remembered why it was in the drawer. But the story has a happy ending because the new OnePlus 5 arrived yesterday. So that was the choice I made in terms of an affordable flagship phone.
What's your initial review and how much does it cost?
So I had it 29 hours. So I can't really give a detailed review.
This is initial review.
Yeah, initial review. I bought the 64 gigs, 6 gigs of RAM, people. Version of it. It's a 5.5 inch screen.
I approve.
Yeah. It was tax and delivery under 500, 480 and change. So for flagship phone, inexpensive.
2 gigs RAM, more RAM than the one I just bought.
Right. Yeah, 64 gigs of storage, 1080 screen instead of a quad HD or 4K, which in my opinion is a huge bonus.
Battery life.
Is insane. Again, I haven't really torture tested it, but when you get a new phone, that's what you do. You phone, right? All day. And I'm at 63% at 9:30 in the evening.
Dude. Okay. And like, how does it feel in the hand? Does it feel solid? Does it feel chintzy?
Very,
does it feel
very heavy? Solid build. It's a metal case. It's super thin. In fact, it is so thin, it almost feels odd in the hand. I got it yesterday afternoon, set it up. By the way, if you haven't done it in a while, and I hadn't in a while, the new Android-to-Android NFC communication where you touch two phones together is just amazing. Not only did all my apps come over, but all the settings and all the passwords are all still there. Super cool. I haven't done that in a while. But I got it all set up, and I got out this morning and headed out to work and had it in the dock and found out my GPS wasn't working at all. And I thought, well, maybe there's something wrong with Google Maps.
Maybe?
Yeah, so I downloaded Waze. Waze said, nope, nothing, no GPS. So, I know my way to work. I just use it for traffic. And I got there, and I got online with the helpful OnePlus support people, helpful being in quotes. What I did appreciate, though, was they recognized that their audience are largely technical people, and he didn't treat me like a moron. He didn't read a script. He said, have you tried already? And I gave the list of things I tried. He said, okay, the only other thing I could recommend is a full phone factory reset. Do you know how to do that or do you need instructions? I know how to do that. All right, if that doesn't fix your problem, call us back. So I did that at work. Because with the whole Google thing storing all your settings, I didn't really lose much. I was able to, within just a few minutes, I was able to be right back to work. But still, no GPS. And so I was getting ready to prepare for shipment to go back. I was lamenting. I mean, I was going to be able to use it through the day, right? I don't use GPS all the time. I took the case off of it, and suddenly GPS. And so let me show you. I'm going to put a link in the chat room to the case that I bought.
This is an aftermarket case you took off?
Aftermarket OnePlus case. And if you'll look at the picture there, it's got a little metalized plastic accent piece on the top and the bottom. I would not have thought for any reason that would have caused any problems. But I tested it. I A/B tested it all day long. You put that little thing on top next to the camera, and both the Wi-Fi and the GPS go away. You take it off, they come right back. So if you buy a OnePlus.
Maybe it's a security feature that's been undocumented.
Maybe. If you buy a OnePlus, do not buy this case, the OnePlus case by Opretty.
It does look nice.
It is pretty.
I see now.
Very professional. It was $8, and, you know, but ruins the phone.
Okay, now here's a good thing. 24 customer reviews, okay? And it has 4 out of 5 stars.
Something smells fishy.
But also, when I went online and reviewed, so if you go to Amazon and type in OnePlus 5 case, you get about 7 options total. And this one is the most eye-catching of all of them. I went onto the OnePlus forums, and lots of people were reporting the same problem. I'll bet there's a high correlation of people who are having the problem also have this case and haven't done the research that I did to test it.
Well, I'll say the two things. One, calling up a tech support here, it to me is the golden rule stick. Because this is what shapes attitude. When you called, how long were you on hold before you actually had to talk?
I did their online tech support.
Okay. Now, just to let you know, an app I brought a couple weeks ago called Amazon. Oh God, I just did it. Well, I just sent that webpage to there, and it got a rating of F in authenticity ratings. It's like K Amazon, I believe it's called. That basically, K review is the name of the app. You take an Amazon link, you share it to that app. That app then tells you how authentic is the reviews, and it got an F.
Huh.
The link that I just sent you.
So that, yeah. So. And I can tell you, I'm sad that support didn't first thing they ask you, do you have a case on your phone?
So is it the letter K-R-E-V-I-E-W?
Yeah, with a black round logo with a green star.
Okay, gotcha. From On the Shoulders of Giants. I'm gonna put a link in the show notes.
There you go, our first app of the night.
Find this too.
Yeah, I brought it maybe, I want to say 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and I still have it on my phone. I've been using it when I remember to. And I've only twice out of, 20 purchases or whatever, it says it gives it lower than a C. When it gives it lower than a C, I don't buy the item just because.
That's a great help. I don't know. For some reason, I don't remember you bringing this app, but I mean.
So just to not lose the thread, but back to my review of the phone, super fast. The performance is just really lickety split, and with those 6 gigs of RAM, I haven't been able to torture test it at all. I mean, we're running Audible, and pulling maps and scrolling, whatever I could throw at it, it has handled with ease. No stutter, no hesitation of any kind. It's got the fingerprint sensor in the home key. Really fast, really responsive. I don't know how secure it is. I haven't tried had somebody else try to get into it.
Do you swipe it or just place your finger?
Just tap
on
it. Yeah.
Okay.
First 24 hours, it gets 8 out of 10.
And you are on what carrier?
AT&T. Yeah, it's a CDM. It's a non-CDMA phone. It's only the other one that just went out of my head.
GSM.
GSM. Yeah.
It is everybody except Verizon and Sprint. And here's the thing, it will work on Sprint. Because my coworker has that phone. We have another coworker that's Sprint. We put the Sprint card in the phone. It worked, but the network speeds were not good.
It's got dual SIMs, so you can have 2 phone numbers on the same phone. You could have your local SIM and your Japanese SIM if you're traveling. It's got 2 cameras on the back. I'm not a big camera guy, but apparently it does the bokeh effect where you have the blurred image, the background and in focus image. It does that by actually using 2 lenses, focusing one on the background and one on the foreground.
That's the big deal right now, the portrait mode and taking that blurry.
I'm not super into pictures. I took a picture. It looked fine. One speaker only. It's mono, but it's a good speaker. One of my favorite things about my Moto X Pure was that a good, clear, loud speaker. This is even better, to the point where I'm actually turning it down. It's a little too loud sitting next to me. So
nice. That's good.
So, so far, well worth the $500.
Well, and I'm just going to go out on a limb, which is not, it's a very sturdy branch, which I have a lot of faith in. I'm going to say right now, in 3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, you're still going to be very satisfied with the phone. I'm sure the polish will rub off a little bit and you'll start to see some cracks, but I'm also sure you are going to feel exponentially better about this phone in the long run than you did your last.
My wife is 3 years into her OnePlus One, and still every time I say, hey, you know, Christmas, your birthday, you want a new phone? No, I like this one. I'm fine with it. So that in itself speaks volumes to me.
Do you have a tempered glass screen protector on it yet?
The very first purchase. Before the phone came, I had the screen protector. Yes.
Nice.
Good man. And my buddy at work will not stop going on about how the battery life on it is scary. He said, you know, I keep thinking, I'm going to look at it and it's going to drop 20% because can it really be lasting this long? And he's had the phone now for a couple months. And he still says, I keep thinking any day the battery is just going to start going down, but it hasn't.
So I keep chargers all over the place. There's one on each end of my sofa in the living room. There's one at my podcast desk here. There's one at my work desk. There's at my office. There's one at my desk. There's one in my car. I didn't use any of them today.
Nice. Good test. I would do that for the first day as well. And then after that, I would be plugged in all the time again.
Well, and then, of course, the next test to be is, look at the percentage, go to bed, wake up, look at the percentage. If it's less than two or three difference, then you know they're also doing the on-off screen. It's doze, but they do pre-doze stuff to make sure that when it is not active, it is not active.
So it has a proprietary charging technology they call Dash. It's only available in the OnePlus 3 and the OnePlus 5. It's not backward compatible with Quick Charge 2 or 3. But yesterday when I first got it, it charged the phone in 20 minutes without any heat. With my Moto phone, when it was quick charging, the phone got hot. In this case, it did not. But I did find it only works with their special cable. You have to buy the cable from, there's apparently some circuitry in the cable. And it's like a $30 USB cable. So I plugged into
USB-C?
Yeah, USB-C. So I had to buy adapters for all my micro USBs all over the place.
Got a headphone jack?
Well, I'll tell you, on my OnePlus One, when I wanted to do a fast boot to it and copy files over, no other USB cable worked ever. I had to use their cable. And some secret sauce, either in the speed, the performance, or some circuitry making those cables different.
I did transfer some files using a regular USB-C cable. And so for file transfer, it worked fine. So there's my review of the OnePlus 5.
It does have a headphone jack, right?
Yes. Haven't used it yet.
I hate both you guys.
Why?
Because you got one in the mail. You have a stork delivering one, and Mark just got a beautiful baby bouncing boy.
Yeah, but how many gigs are in the phone you're using right now for RAM?
I don't know. I can't even remember anymore. I bought the thing so long ago. It's so old.
Like last week?
It was cracked.
Well, I know that mine is 2 gigs, and I feel it. So I still like the phone, though, but I hate the speaker on this phone. I can't. Honestly, that's the only thing I'm mostly psyched about, having better speaker on my phone. Something I can hear through my pocket when it's playing a podcast.
Right. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. My phone's good. I'm just messing with you. 4 gigs of RAM in my phone. The only problem with my phone is low internal storage. We are once every couple months, I got to go into Google Photos and say clean up or archive or whatever. And then, you know, it's fine again. But yeah.
All right. Any other hardware news to talk about?
I'm jealous.
We're half an hour.
I wasn't impressed with the little camera for, I think, $150 bucks.
What is that? The only thing I can think is that's good for protesters who want to body cam the cops.
Is it like a some kind of competition for the one of those little tough cameras that you mount to the front of your snow ski?
GoPro?
GoPro. Yeah, GoPro. Is it a GoPro competitor?
I don't know.
Get cases for it, make it waterproof. I thought that was way overpriced. The Pixel Book, I don't know. I just bought an Asus Chromebook for half the price, and it seems pretty decent. It doesn't have 12 gigs of RAM in it, though, like the Pixelbook does. So, you know, I don't see how Chrome OS needs 12 gigs of RAM yet, but maybe it does.
I'm sure that Pixelbook is a sweet piece of hardware. I'm also sure I am never buying it, period.
They're reaching out to Apple fans on that. I agree with a person in our chat who said that earlier. That is Apple's heart territory there when you're going to ask that for a Chromebook.
You want to know what I want? I want the 25th anniversary Lenovo ThinkPad. That's what I want. That thing's sexy.
Is it? They got such a thing?
All the ports on it. Oh yeah, they just released a video today. It's released today. It's the Lenovo Anniversary 25 edition, and it harkens back to the nothing about it is authentic from the one from 25 years ago, because who wants 128 meg hard drive?
It's got the rubber nub on the keyboard, right?
All ThinkPads, well, okay. Yes. But also with this one, you have three different ones you can put in it. So you can swap them out with different ones. Uh-huh. One's like cat tongue, one's concave, you know.
Bezel-less screen, though? Because
oh, no, it has a bezel. Hmm. This is a ThinkPad. This is not a sexy, this is not a hipster device. This is a working man's device. A 7-row keyboard, you know what I mean? So space bar, letter, 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 number, and then 2 more rows on top of it. Because it's Lenovo. It's classic, you know, IBM-ish. I don't even know the price. I don't want to go look at the price because I want it.
i7, then? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Up to 16 gigs of RAM, I believe. Yeah. And built-in NVIDIA graphics card. Yeah.
Ubuntu Studio, right from the out of the box?
I would try.
I just wonder if it came with it, if that was an option.
No. Comes with micro shaft wind blows.
I'm reading this article that you put in The Verge. The camera takes pictures on its own, whether you want it to or not.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else finds that creepy. Just me. All right.
I do.
I don't know about, you know, the Google Home or this or anything being anywhere close to any room I sleep. I don't know, man.
It says it looks for interesting situations. I'm not sure I want all of my interesting situations to be recorded.
The only thing I can think is this is meant for young teenagers who want to just set it there and then put on their personal little show kind of thing of just acting goofy and dancing and then saying, post it to Instagram, post it to, you know, look at these crazy pictures, are so funny. But $250. $250.
$250. Jeez, that was off by 100.
I don't know who the hell's going to buy that thing. I know if my son asked me for one, he might get a paddling.
That's 2.5 GoPros.
Yeah, I'm happy I don't understand what Google's thinking now, because I don't want to know.
So the Pixel Buds, though, I mean, I am not the use case for this.
Same here.
But my goodness, dude, to have the Babel Fish from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy,
I know
that, and the demo worked pretty well. That is the best thing ever. That is bringing the world together right there. That is revolutionary. Well,
This is going to enable people to argue more efficiently.
Well, that too, but it could also be used for decency.
Oh, we're humans. We'll use it for bad.
What they really need to do is make a translation engine that translates between engineers and normal people. That would be impressive.
There you go.
$1 billion idea. Yeah. So what these earbuds do is they do play music, play audio, play whatever, but they also have the ability to basically near real time translate multiple languages on the fly. So you can be in meet space talking to somebody from Germany when they're talking German. You can both have these headphones in. I can be speaking in English. He can be speaking in German, and in near real time, get instant translations. It's literally black magic voodoo. Kind of thing.
Would love to be a salesman right now. You gotta be a salesman and have an extra set, I guess, with you, don't you? Yeah. Just carry two sets of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I were taking a world trip, if I were going to, you know, China or something like that, this would be worth $160 just to make the trip that much better.
Now, do they have to have their own Pixel phone the other person has to have a Pixel phone also, though, right? And paired to these Bluetooth buds for the whole conversation to work. You can't.
That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah. So having it on your just one sided doesn't really get it done.
Well, you can at least nod or shake your head no.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Would you like our fisheye soup? No, I would not.
It's just a matter of time before this technology is commonplace. And that's what excites me about it.
Yes. And that's the thing. I want the time when we look at that and say, yeah, we've had that. What next? You know, just because it's there and it's cool. And now, we've already conquered that. Now what? We can literally take the universal translator from Star Trek or the Babel Fish from Hitchhiker's Guide. No longer science fiction, reality.
Yeah, and not as weird as putting an actual fish in your ear. So that's a good thing.
Well, it depends on your culture, Eric, and let's not be culturalist.
Fish slappers.
All right. Well, that's 40-odd minutes of discussion about everything but apps on the Android App Addicts podcast. Maybe we should jump right into that. Dor, kick us off, my friend.
Okay, first app I'm going to bring here is actually in honor of a very good friend of mine named Bruce Patterson, who does the DistroWatch podcast. DistroWatch.com is a website that basically is the news source for basically everything Linux distribution related. Updates, new distros, discontinued distros, reviews of distros, blah, 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 blah. This app is called Lintree, L-I-N-T-R-E-E. It is E for everyone, does contain ads, completely free to download, no in-app purchases, only 11 reviews, 4.8 average reviews, updated October 5th, 2017, between 50 and 100 installs, current version 007. This basically is a digital version of DistroWatch. It connects to the DistroWatch website and pulls down all of the DistroWatch news straight to your phone in a very easy interface where if you access web pages on phones, sometimes it isn't optimal is what I'll say. With this one, it's very easy to keep up on what distros just came out, which ones have updates, and what are the updates in those distributions. If you're a Linux weenie like myself, I highly encourage you to download this app and give it a little look-see.
Very nice looking app too. They've really went all out and making it look good.
Well, this isn't your grandfather's
Linux
type stuff where it's function over form.
Right.
And of course some self propaganda. I hook up with Bruce whenever we both have time, and we do a section that we call Ramble On, where me and Bruce just basically connect on Mumble, blather on about stuff for 20 minutes to an hour, and then we put that at the very end of the DistroWatch podcast.
Oh, cool. I will have to listen into that.
Yeah, and Bruce loves music and live performance, so at the end of every episode, he inserts some live rock from archive.org. So, something else to enjoy.
Nice, safe way to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Bruce is not only very good at his job, he's a kind of smart fella.
All right, Eric, your turn.
My first app is basically a GIF creation app, where if you have something you want to take a picture of with your phone, but it would be just better if you could like bend around the side too and make a little GIF out of it. This is called Motion Stills. It's by Google, and it's a kind of like their. It basically makes a GIF, but I guess it takes photography to one extra level. I guess if you wanted to, you know, move it, see. I don't know, it's hard to say. If you want to show an entire picture rather than taking two or three pictures, you can just like do this and makes a small little video sort of thing. I took a picture of my desk with my Android App Addicts mug and sent it to Dor, and it smooths everything out, makes it look good all automatically. You don't have to mess around with it too much or at all, actually.
Yeah, I'll say I was gently shocked at how that was made, and I don't remember if I asked you. But I was like, I can't tell if that's some kind of weird special effects of the cup moving, or is that just some kind of angle shift doing? Because to be honest, it looked that damn smooth.
Yeah, I was impressed with it, and that was literally just like 1 second of working with it. I did nothing to try to enhance it at all, and I was impressed with how it turned out.
Motion Stills.
Very cool.
Research at Google. Cool.
Very cool. So basically, you can take any 3 second event and record it as a GIF automatically. I have tools that do it, but what I have to do is I have to either take multiple pictures and then say save as GIF, or record a video, then open the app, then say export to GIF. So I like if GIF is your original intent, you can just cut right to the chase.
So it does, you said 3 seconds. Is it like the last 3 seconds? If I hold it up for 15 seconds, is it seconds 12 through 15?
No, it's seconds 1, 2, 3.
Okay. So you push the button, 1 through 3. It records for 3 seconds, yeah. And that's it. Got it.
Yeah, yep. It's been a while since I used it, so I don't remember exactly how it was. I keep forgetting to bring this app to the show. I'll do another one real quick here, just to...
That's a little breach of protocol there, man.
Well, no, it's not like I just found it. I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You know how long ago it was I sent it to you, Dor. That's how long ago I used it. It's not... You know, I'm like Mark, I'm not a big camera guy. So it comes up, and you press the shutter button, and basically you just move it and stop. And it makes the motion still, and it's done.
Well, yeah, but Eric, my sense of time That could have been earlier this week. That could have been 3 months ago.
I work with a guy who says there are only three times. There's today, there's tomorrow, and there's the other day. The other day could have been fourth grade.
I'm good for that.
It's the other day.
So that's the Android App Addicts cup I made the other day in my office. That was it's the other day.
Smooth.
And this is right now's. Not nearly as impressive as the cup.
Let me read an email that we have. This one is a bit long. First, let me from. Did you guys read? No, this just came in, so you 17 hours ago, so you couldn't have read it last.
Yeah.
Time. So
I read it.
Yeah, but not on the show. Is what I'm saying.
Not on the show.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Right. Exactly.
This is from our friend Eivor Davies. Is it Davies? Anyway, Eivor.
Eivor.
No. Ivor. No. It's not Eivor.
No.
A-Y-E-I, right? I.
I as in I, Captain. That's it.
He might be Ivor. Into something.
Yeah, see, I was completely misreading it. All right.
That's why he's the manager.
Says, hey guys, thoroughly enjoyed your last two episodes and then caught up with this afternoon. I particularly enjoyed Dor's threat to slap anyone who he sees who has the X out of 10 app installed on their phone. I was thinking exactly the same thing. In fact, I will double my Patreon subscription for 6 months if he can tweet a photo of him doing exactly this. And I would challenge all other Patreon supporters to do the same. Anyway, I wanted to thank you for your personal mention in the podcast, but I would also like to clarify the pronunciation of my name. It's Eivor, not Eivor, but my good friends call me Shirley. Not really, but I'm a longstanding airplane movie fan, and I'm always looking for an opportunity to say, don't call me Shirley. As you know, I live in rural New Zealand, and our native bird is the kiwi bird, and the New Zealanders are commonly known as kiwis. We also grow a lot of kiwi fruit. But when I was a boy, these were always called Chinese gooseberries. So I definitely think we are named after a half-blind, flightless, endangered, evolutionary dead end rather than the fuzzy fruit people put on their cereal. Attached is a photo of a kiwi bird, so Dor can at least recognize one if the subject ever comes up again. I recently found myself out of work due to a rather unpleasant medical condition, and while convalescing, I started looking around for some alternative sources of income that I could generate from home. Naturally, I turned to Android phones. I noticed that, like the USA, our cell phone market has long been dominated by a small number of carriers providing a limited range of expensive handsets. Pretty much 90% of the market is sewn up by Apple and Samsung, with Huawei running a distant third. Also, like the USA, the market here doesn't seem to realize that they can buy a wide variety of relatively inexpensive handsets online, regardless of what carrier you use. So I started looking into the different options for buying wholesale quantities of inexpensive Android headsets that would work in my country. What I found really surprised me. There are huge quantities of phones that fit all type of consumer, from less than $100 to more than $1,000. I found phones with equivalent specs to Samsung and other flagships for half the cost of what you would pay retail. I know a lot of Americans turn to Amazon and find some pretty good deals, but I also think the range of phones on Amazon is somewhat limited as well. I found online e-tailers like AliExpress, Banggood, GearBeast, ChinaVision, TinyDeal, DHgate, and about a million more all offer a vast array of handsets with any spec you want for just about any price you want to pay. These phones are perfectly good quality and, contrary to popular opinion, don't come laden with malware, viruses, or other similar nastiness. I firmly believe the days of walking into your carrier storefront paying through the nose for an unjustifiably expensive flagship is coming to an end. The only reason they're still getting away with this is because they let you pay off the purchase in installments over the length of your plan, locking you into an ironclad contract and guaranteeing their pound of flesh from you for 2 to 3 years at a time. You can fool some of the people. I'm still developing my business plan and marketing model, but I also found that several of these e-tailers have drop shipping programs where you can set up the website and your customers order their stock. They charge you pretty close to wholesale prices and you keep the markup. Clearly, they're going for volume in the global reach, and this approach gives them and not the huge margins found in more common flagships and mid-rangers. If you're in the market for a new phone, don't get sucked into paying $1,000, which is about $50 billion New Zealand, for a new iPhone or Pixel 2. Most of what you're paying for with those phones is marketing cost and rampant profiteering. Shop around. Take a look around at some of the other online options that are going quite often. You'll find something with exactly the specs you want, but at a fraction of the cost. Surely, there's another way. Sorry for the length. Feel free to abridge. Love your podcast. Please don't stop. Eivor Davies.
I agree with everything he said.
Well said. Yes. Well said. And no, I didn't read the email. It's too damn long. Thank you, Mark. Eivor, I'm going to practice saying that. Eivor, here's the gimmick. America and New Zealand have a lot of things in similar. And what I mean is the average person. The average person is not super educated, but we in both countries have the ability to become self-educated rather quickly, is what I'm going to say. The way you can differentiate yourself, there's three cornerstones of project management or business management. There's price, there's efficiency, and there is quality. You can only specialize in two of them. You can never be the perfect trio of all three. What I encourage you is do something at a fair price and make sure that the quality of the devices are okay. And the way you can then compensate for something that isn't a name brand like Samsung or something is offer the customer service. The first thing I would look at doing is buying a device that is TeamViewer compatible. So you can give your people with their phone, you can charge them for personal hands-on assistance if ever needed. With the TeamViewer app, you can remote into their phone and give them hand-holding lessons on how to use their phone and help them with problems. Customer service is how you can easily differentiate yourself from any other company. Verizon will not help you with your phone unless you stand in line and wait for 2 hours. I'm sure it's the same down there. So shoot for customer service and make sure you make that personal connection with every single one of your customers. And I highly doubt you will be anything but completely successful. If I said that right, you know what I mean? You'll be successful. Customer service is an easy way to completely differentiate yourself from every other company.
Just this week.
Totally agree.
I went to the AT&T store because I needed a new SIM for my new phone. It was a different size from what I had. And I went in and they said, all right, there's three people in front of you. It'll be about a 25-minute wait. No, I just need a SIM card. Yeah, it'll be about a 25. No, you just go over to that case there, that drawer where I saw you pull one out last week when I bought a phone for my daughter. Just hand me the card. I'll go home and activate it. No, we can't do that. We have to activate it here on the phone. And basically the idea was to keep me hostage in the phone in the store in hopes that I might buy something. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys was trying to sell me a phone, which was kind of silly because I was there to get a SIM card because I purchased a phone. But I played along and I said, all right, you show me one phone in here that does not have a single AT&T app on it. And I'll purchase it.
Really?
Good job of trolling, Mark.
And he actually went through and looked at some stuff, and he said, well, you can remove them. All right, show me. Remove the app on your demo phone. It's not going to matter. If you can remove all the AT&T apps, I'll buy whatever it is. Of course, he went to the most expensive one, then the Samsung Galaxy Note 8. No, couldn't do it. I was like, you know, if you're going to make me wait 20 minutes, I'm going to mess with you while I'm there.
Oh, man. Yeah, great, great idea, Mark. You know, I haven't been out of that for too long, but I totally forgot about carrier apps on a phone. I mean, my carrier is all over my phone, but it's Google, so it doesn't hurt so much.
Well, my friend
who's installing those anyway,
he recently went from AT&T to Project Fi, said that that he went from using anywhere between 6 and 10 gigs of data a month on his unlimited plan to about 2 gigs a month when he switched off of AT&T. So it was all their apps on the phone running in the background, spying on you, reporting on you, burning up your data and your battery and all that. When he switched to a carrierless phone, all that stuff went way down.
Oh, he didn't even change his habits or lifestyle to get down to that. Wow. Well, maybe that was part of my thing. I never thought about that. That's a good point. Hey, I'm going to say if you guys are thinking of switching to Google Fi, I've got an affiliate code to use. It's on the Google Plus. Just go look at it. It saves you $20 on your first month.
I wish I could use that excuse.
It saves me $20 too. I'm just saying. But.
Well, I wish I could use that excuse, but I bought my phone unlocked from no carrier.
Yeah,
and last month I used 30 gigs.
Well, I
because you're afraid of Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I've got Wi-Fi everywhere I go except for my car.
Okay. Afraid is a strong word. I will say I'm partially justified. I was an administrator of the network, and I currently every day communicate with administrators of the network. They don't connect their devices to the network.
Wow.
Yeah. So call it whatever you want, but I'm not going to use it.
If there's any hacking of a Wi-Fi network going on in my office, it would be by me. There's nobody else there that's going to be capable of doing that.
No, it ain't hacking. It's sponsored. It's internal. It's the way they want it.
Right. There's no IT person above me. Well, there's one that doesn't work there above me. I know him and I used to be competitors, but he's not going to have any kind of a thing against me, really. We're cool.
And I'll say, and if I knew that a Google Fi user would come into our work, connect to that Wi-Fi, and get the lock saying it's a, you know, trusted Google
that's
portal.
Not gonna, so that's VPN, not going to happen.
I'm just going to say, if it did, then I would happily entertain the idea of getting a Fi phone. But I'm thinking the odds are
those locks don't come often. I would say there, I know of a couple locks where I'll always get it, but they're very, you know, it's like, I think every,
McDonald's.
No, I was thinking Buffalo Wild Wings. I don't know about McDonald's, maybe McDonald's too. Maybe McDonald's, yeah. Buffalo Wild Wings. And there's a couple schools that I've been at where the lock came on. Other than that, you don't see the lock too often.
Gotcha.
All right. Back to our app round robin. Dora, I believe it's your turn.
Okay. This is going to be a game that I saw and I just couldn't stop looking at it. And I played it for a little bit and I was actually pretty impressed by it. It's called Nobleman 1896. I'm sure there's some actual Mark smarter than me. Something happened, 1896. Let's just say that. Nobleman 1896 by Forsaken Media, T for Teen, 12,000 reviews, completely free to install, does have in-app purchases and ads. 4.2 average reviews, updated September 27, 2017, between 500,000 and 1 million installs. Minimum in-app purchase, 99 cents. This is a over-the-shoulder, third-person, not-on-rails game. You're in basically a war, and you can cover behind rocks, tree lines, fences kind of thing, and you basically have to keep progressing. Your goal is always like at the other end of the stage that you're at, and you basically have to fight your way through. There is gun play, but there's also sword play. When you get in close, you can pull out your sword and take care of people much easier, much simpler is what I'll say. Really, I gotta say, good looking graphics, not crazy good looking, but really good looking graphics, really easy to play. When you get into the stage, it's fun. After the stage, add stupid menu, whatever. Next. Definitely fun.
According to Wikipedia, the Anglo-Zanzibar War was fought on August 27th, 1896, that lasted approximately 45 minutes.
Maybe this is it. Nice. And here's the thing. I like them using that time frame because swords were still prevalent, horseback was still prevalent, but guns were available. So you really can get a different type of combat going on.
It looks really good. It does have a video, guys. So don't ding door on that because the video is very short and doesn't show too much. So.
Well, it's mostly gameplay, which most of the time the bad videos show no gameplay and just all, you know, talk and cinema scenes and stuff.
All right. I got nothing to say. Eric, your turn.
I'm going to bring an app that was suggested by the chat room last week, and this is called Disc Golf Unchained. I mean, it's directed straight at me. You know, I do like disc golf. And I'm going to say this is not my favorite. It's too complicated and hard. I tried to figure this game out, and the angles and the power and the whole, I don't know, maybe if I played more golf games, I would understand the mechanics of how to play this game, but I couldn't get it. It was too much work for me to, I like playing Frisbee golf because it's super simple. This game is harder than real life.
What was that called again?
Disc Golf Unchained. Did I not post
it? I don't see your.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Or put the wrong one in there. Copy. Oh, that's weird. That is the same link I have.
Yeah. To me, disc golf is hard. Okay. First off, I learned from Golf Story on my Nintendo Switch. You do not call it ever a frisbee. People get irate at you. And golf is not golf. Golf is ball golf. So, and in Golf Story, you can play disc golf. Just to let you know.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, that's another reason. I don't think that is this first person or third person view of the game.
First person.
This is first. See me. That's that in incredibly complicates everything about it, because you know third person over the top kind of thing. It's easier because, but you're doing it from your own vantage point.
The first line of the description on the page says, please take a look at the full list of controls and instructions at localrootlabs.com/unchainedfac.
That's exactly what I didn't do. I did not do that at all, and nor would I.
Do you even lift, bro?
I toss. I'm not ashamed to say it. I toss frisbees at chains all the time.
Disc.
Discs.
D disc. I'll say this. I more and more and more like the idea of disc golf, but there is some, I don't know, something about this that doesn't look fun. A, I'm never reading a damn direction, period. That's why you have tutorial levels, okay? And you could do a tutorial level right, you don't need to read any directions. So I am tempted just to, you know, do it once. There's a lot of like meters and stuff.
Too much. When I go play disc golf, I mean, there's some angle things that you do with your hand to get it to curve one way or the other a little bit. It doesn't translate well. They didn't make it translate well to this. And they tried, I think, is what it is. They tried to make it authentic to a fault.
I'll say this. I do believe it is not an easy task.
Oh, I feel bad because they're from Madison, Wisconsin, which isn't really hard from here. You know, it's not that far away. I feel bad that I'm saying this about their app. Oh, well. I call them as I see them.
All right.
Are we doing...
Gotcha.
Okay, are we going to... am I emptying a tank yet or not?
If you feel your tank is ready to be emptied...
Well, I know that... I'm not going to be here next week, so I do. I want to put some stuff out there.
Do it.
All right, I'm going to. So this is called Tiny Cards by Duolingo. I don't remember what Duolingo was. Is this some kind of a brain exercising app or something? I remember the name Duolingo, but I don't remember exactly what it did.
It's a language learning application.
Okay. Well, this is a anything learning application. You can learn history. You can learn astronomy. You can learn physics. You can learn science. You can learn all kinds of things. And they do it by using flashcards. Basically, it'll show a picture of something. You tap on the card. It flips it over. It tells you exactly what that card's about. And then it goes kind of like back into a virtual deck, sort of. And then every now and then you'll go through a few things, you'll see a couple more cards, and then all of a sudden they'll say, hey, what was that, what was the guy's name who discovered America in 1492? And then Columbus will be one of your four cards at the bottom, you hit that, and then you keep moving on, and those cards keep coming back until you prove that you understand what happened and what card, you know, until you understand what it tried to teach you earlier. And it is ruthless. If you're not catching on, it will keep putting it in your face until you learn it. It's pretty cool. I think it could be for all ages, honestly.
Very cool. I do think they have experience and they did get good feedback from their other learning applications. So, you know, continue on. That's good.
All right. You got another one?
Yep. The next app I have is a game. It's called Flippy Knife. And you think it's just like Flappy Bird or... you know, Crossy Road or anything like that. But I'm sorry, I'm a little choked up here about this game. Basically, it's got a little bit of different physics. It's kind of like, you know, where people take a plastic water bottle half full and flip it and try to land it on the end. That's kind of the gist of what you're doing here. You're flipping a knife over or over so that it lands with the sharp point down and it lands into a chunk of wood. So you got that. But then after you learn how to do that, it moves into like a story mode where you're kind of just it's a platformer where you're scrolling to the right, and as long as you keep flipping your knife correctly and it sticks in the piece of wood, the screen moves a little bit farther to the right, and then you keep flipping, and there's little gems and stuff you can get and things you earn as you go. I don't know if I did it justice. It's a pretty fun game, actually. It's not what I was expecting.
So if you like fail.
Just
with one flip, yep, just, do you stop progressing and start
just
over?
Keep going. You keep trying until you flip, until you stick it, and then you move on.
Do little flashcards come up with trivia questions in between rounds?
Not on Flippy Knife.
Okay, sorry.
On the other one, probably. You can buy knives and stuff like that as you move up, but I haven't done all that. And
yeah, the reviews are quite positive. 4.7 out of 5, 334,000 positive reviews. Or five-star reviews.
Yeah, 400,000 reviews. My
it's life. A lot cooler than I thought it was. I saw the icon for it, and I was like, ah, what, another something with a Y noun game, you know? And it was a lot better than I expected.
Yeah, because I see this. The sounds of it, to me, it sounds like I would suck. Like, the percentage of time I would land the knife correctly would be very, like, literally, easily under 50%.
It is, but it's easy to it's a learning process. Once you start figuring out, you know, how your knife flips, you start landing it more often. Until you go buy a new knife, and then you got to learn it all over again.
See, and I don't like the fact you go to the second screenshot, and at least two of the swords look like they come straight out of Legend of Zelda.
Well, this is your bit rate door. This is the bit rate you enjoy. So you're going to have stuff that looks like that.
No, I'm not going to. You already beat the crap out of me with a cully tone or whatever. I don't want to get beat up again. Stop bullying me, man.
All right. That's it for my tank door. What's your tank?
Well, before we go there, we do have an email, an app from our friend Aaron, who tells us about an app called Calculator the Game. He says, haven't played this, and it does have a video, unfortunately, but it sounds like an interesting game. My apologies if this was already brought to the show, but my link to the list doesn't work today to check. And my apologies to Mark for flow wraps. Cheers, guys, and happy October from Canada. Yeah, I was finally freed of that when I had to switch phones, and for some reason it didn't come over. So the spell was broken. But prior to that, I had been wasting all of my time doing flow wraps.
Okay, I did not take a look at this Calculator of the Game. And honestly, because he sent it, I know, Aaron, I know you. I know you well. I'm scared to install this.
In a world of calculators, because one dared to be a game. Sure, you've used calculators before, but you've never played a calculator. Welcome to Calculators, the game where you'll manipulate numbers by adding them, subtracting them, converting them, reversing them, and stuffing them through portals. Yes, portals!
I know, I mean, because I'm a very logical, I'm a Vulcan, I'm part Vulcan. Okay. Calculators are the ultimate, math is the ultimate logical thing for me. It is or it isn't. There is no between. There is no could either. There's no feelings in calculators. So I'm scared. And I think I might start playing this game and then not stop playing it.
At first, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eric.
No, I thought when you said calculator the game, I just figured it would be more like the old game show where you had to guess the license plate number. You know, and try to figure out what it's trying to spell out, you know, like with calculator numbers, with the two or three things we used to do in third grade with our calculators.
So I'm looking at one of the screenshots. It says goal 4. The number on the screen is 3. So I'm assuming you have to take the 3 and make it a 4. And your tools are +4, -4, and divided by 4. So in 3 moves or less, you have to take a 3 into a 4 using only those operations.
I'm thinking you're supposed to do it in the number of moves under the goal amount. So that person would have one more move.
Maybe. All right. Well, then what's the objective?
Well, I guess it's not obvious. I don't know. I mean, there's Clicky the Snarky Assistant who will help you win, though.
Well, see, I don't know. See, I think you're wrong because the next one, the number on the screen is 2. The goal is 15, and there are 4 moves. So I don't think you get 15 moves to do something. I think you have to turn that 2 into a 15. In 4 moves or less.
Ah, I'll go for that. I think he's on something, Eric.
Okay.
It's 2 times 2 times times 2 times 2 times 2 divided by 3. I don't know.
I like portals.
I have to install this.
I like cake. I know.
I do too. Did. Shoot, man, I don't want to, though. It does not look like something I want to play, but I got to. Got to do it. It's done. It's installed.
I get sucked down into another forever time waster. I'm coming for you,
it's
man.
It's scary. It's scary, isn't it? You never know. This guy. Man.
All right. Now, door.
You got Mark sweating. He's so nervous about taking an errand suggestion. Oh, well.
Okay. Well, we're already well over an hour. So I'll just bring a utility type app that I thought was actually pretty cool. It is reminiscent of an app probably we've brought back from episode 20 or something, but it's still useful. It's called Battery Bar Energy Bars on Status Bar by Yogesh Dama. It's in the Tools E for Everyone, 604 reviews right now, temporarily completely free, previously 99 cents. 4.4 average reviews, updated August 9th, 2017, between 10,000 and 50,000 installs, current version 2.4. And again, if by the time the show comes live, it is not free anymore, and this is the kind of app you like hearing about, you really should join the Google Plus Podnuts Android App Addict community. Every time I find one of these apps that I do think I'm going to bring to the show, I do post it in there with the then price and the now price so you can see the cost savings. What this is, this is a application which gives you multiple options to do a thin, if you want, like literally 1 pixel wide bar at the very top of your screen, or as thick as you want it to be, with a color pattern showing you the amount of battery left in your phone. So even when you're watching a YouTube video, you can still have like a one bar line at the very top and see how much battery you have. Some people do not like having the battery icon, which you can turn off on a lot of phones. Some people don't like seeing a battery percentage in their bar. They like to save that space for other things. So to me, this is a good option. You can also set the width and the colors of each different segment. So you can say, when I'm above 90, show it as green. When I'm below 90, show it as yellow. When I'm below 50, show it as orange. And when I'm below 20, show it as red. So you can easily customize options like that. Right now, completely free. It is just one of those nicety type apps that I think works really well. And there is some kind of animation you can do that I didn't completely understand, so I didn't use it.
All right, next.
Well, because of time constraints, let me think here. Oh, yeah, this one was actually brought in the chat right as the last show was stopping, I believe, because I mentioned my Rock 64 and how I was going to try to install Android TV on it, which I will say right now, the Android TV on the Rock 64 with 4 gigs of RAM is so far running frigging nominally smooth. The damn thing literally boots from cold boot seemingly in under 15 seconds, which I have never, ever experienced any Android to ever boot that quickly, period. So literally for a 15-second boot for Android, that tells me some secret sauce is going on. One failing. When you load up XBMC, the back button does not act as a back button or a escape button. I'm not sure what it acts like, but it doesn't act as a back button. So to go backwards in menus, I still have to have the keyboard and hit escape on the keyboard. But when I'm in the native Android OS and running stuff like YouTube and Plex, this remote works uncommonly good. Unlike other Chromecast-like connectivity applications, I've never once experienced a disconnect. And if I leave the remote on and I turn my phone off and I pick my phone up an hour later, turn the phone on, it immediately is ready to be used again. There's no connecting or no wait. Just work like butter.
Nice.
Yeah, and this is by Google LLC. Official Google Android TV remote control E for everyone. 25,000 reviews, 3.2 average reviews, between 5 million and 10 million install, version 1.1. Blah, 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 blah. It just works, is what I'm gonna say. Just works. And supposedly, Android TV is not forgotten about, and we are gonna get some more stuff here. I'm afraid to stumble in those apps where I go to install and it says it's not compatible with my device because it's Android TV, but I haven't hit that so far. So for now it lives.
All right. I had the same experience on Kodi, by the way, using my Kodi media player. I had to program my Harmony remote so that there was a button that it was escape. So
yes. And sorry, I keep calling it XBMC. It hasn't been XBMC for 2 years.
Right click might work if you can map a right click.
I'm sure there's a way to right-click in the interface. I don't know what it is. Also, in the interface, you go up to the very top. There's a speaker icon. It says, tap to speak. I hit the button. I see the typical Google white bar with the four dots. And I hit the mic button on the Android remote. And I scream all kinds of obscenities at my phone. And it doesn't work. So I don't know what is not working there.
Just a quick aside on that. Roku, the little company that could. With their fifth generation apps, or maybe it was the fourth generation, gave you a remote control with a microphone in it so that you could talk to your Roku. All Rokus, all the way back to version one, using the phone app, you could talk to the thing and use that until that line came out. Then they updated the software, and now the phone app, they quote unquote updated the software. Now the phone app doesn't have the voice feature anymore. Now the only way to get that is to buy their latest generation with the microphone and the remote.
And they just brought out a whole slew of new ones this week too. They refreshed their whole thing for you, Mark.
And I can't even blame them really, because I have a generation one that's 7 years old probably, and it still works, and I have no compelling reason to upgrade. So
The slowness. I remember my generation one was just so slow.
Well, it's in the, you know, the back room that we don't use very often. It's not our daily driver. But other than that, I have like generation twos and threes, and they're fine. I have no reason to upgrade. So I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to end up taking features away so that people will buy more hardware.
Hmm. Well, I want to say I can't blame them, but I blame them pretty bad because that's well, not cool.
It may not be cool, but it is good business in the short term anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
All right. So that was K-Review by On the Shoulders of Giants. Lynn Tree by M.D. Erman Hossein. Sorry. Motion Stills by Google Research at Google. Nobleman 1896 by Forsaken Media. Disc Golf Unchained by Local Root Labs. Tiny Cards by Duolingo. Flippy Knife by Berensnev Games, Calculator the Game by Simple Machine, Bar Energy by Yogesh Dama, and Android TV Remote by Google LLC. That's 10, I believe, apps. So we bring 10 apps pretty much consistently. And there you go. You got what you paid for. Oh, wait. Some of you aren't paying for it. Let's talk about that a little bit. Here we are providing you every week great content, mediocre, providing you every week content, and you're not giving us anything in return. Go to Android App Addicts and pay up, people. Eric, anything, any last words from you?
No, you put it very well. I will see you guys in 2 weeks. I'll be missing next week. I'm sure you guys will do just fine, though.
I think we'll muddle through.
I'll just say Marx Linguistic Gymnastics performed this week alone. Makes me say you have to go to elementop.com. Check out Geek Rant. Send emails in. Let them know you listen. Let them know that they're doing a good show because they are. And join that Patreon as well. You people don't understand how horrible I would have butchered all of those names and that email from Ivor. That email from Ivor would have came out literally understandable. See, it, like that right there made no sense. It would have been horrible. So thank you, Mark.
My pleasure. Happy to be here. And I guess that's all we have to say about that. We'll see you next week because that's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts podcast.
Hi, this is Matt, the host of the MRP Tech Podcast. Each week, I discuss my adventures in technology in a family-friendly show. I'd like to invite you to take a listen to it. And you can listen to all the episodes over at podnuts.com and subscribe to the RSS feeds to download them directly to your mobile devices. I hope you're enjoying all the great content here on the network. And as always, thanks for listening.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.